on Eyre Peninsula, and it was heading this way, and sure enough, it hit a little bit later than what they'd said, but generally people can predict these things a little more and plot these things. But the thing is, with all of that, even we cannot control the wind. The wind has its plan and what it's doing, and that's exactly the same with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit works within the deliberate plans of God for our life. We don't necessarily see it. Sometimes we get a bit of a hint. Sometimes we can wonder whether there's going to be a door that's opening because a door is closed here in our life of opportunity or something. But not always. Sometimes, but that doesn't matter whether we know what God is doing. God knows what God is doing. And the Holy Spirit works within that in total harmony with the Holy Spirit. Remember what we read back there in that John 14 passage, verse 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he dwells in you. That's the plan of God for you, for all of us, that we actually have the Spirit of God, which is just like saying God. We have God within us. That's what his plan is. Everything that has been going on in our life, at the core of it all, is this plan that God wants to live in us. You know? To live in us. Why would he bother? Why would he? Well, we know, if we know the Bible, it's because he loves us. He made us, he loves us. He knows that not only can we not do life alone, we need others. We cannot do life without him. And he made us so that ultimately he could come in and live in us. But of course, the Spirit wants to move with us, as well as in us. He doesn't just want to come in and destroy us. He wants to come in that we might have his life. It's a wonderful privilege to have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. I mean, that's the greatest understatement of the world, isn't it? But, you know, we do sometimes tend to take this for granted. We have the Holy Spirit in us. What an incredible privilege that is. Not because we're perfect, but because God's chosen to live in us. And of course, through the Spirit, that's how he's trying to change us to become a person who's more alive with the things that are really important, and let go of some of the flimsy things, the decluttering of all this other junk that we have in our life that promises much but never delivers any of it. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. But let's remember, the Spirit, like the wind, cannot be controlled. We cannot control the Spirit. And if we try to, we'll lose. I won't go on that. I was going to talk about some times when I've tried to fight against the Spirit, but you've got your own stories, I'm sure. Like the wind, the Holy Spirit is invisible to the human eye. The Holy Spirit, like the wind, follows a deliberate plan, whether we can see it or not. Like the wind also, the Holy Spirit is mysterious. It's kind of what Jesus is hinting at there, isn't it, in verse 8. He's talking about it not so much, like I said, in a scientific thing in terms of wind systems and whatever, but just the wind around us every day. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. The Holy Spirit, like the wind, is mysterious. Philippians tells us that it is God who is at work within us, both to help us to will and to work for his good pleasure. Sometimes we don't know. As the wind is circulating around us, sometimes it's hard to even know which way the wind is coming from. If it's a gentle kind of thing, it's really important for yachts people to know which way the wind's blowing when there's a shift in the wind. What's the simplest way that we can check the direction of the wind? Anybody know? Yeah? Suck all that dirt out from under your fingernail. Yeah, and hold it up there. And what happens? How do you know? What about that? What does that do? It gets cold on one side. Which side? Side the wind's blowing from. That's right. But it doesn't always work, does it? Like in terms of the gentleness sometimes of the wind. I love watching those pictures where it's a car in a wind tunnel, you know, and the wind is zooming down and it's showing you how the aerodynamics of the car kind of work or whatever. Or I like watching the angels that arc across the sky. You see those, don't you, nearly every day? The big planes that are going over way up and the vapour trail from the ends of their wings, you know, you see that turbulence that's there that causes that vapour trail. I often think God is like that, you know. He's all around us. He's flowing, you know. Vincent van Gogh, he painted paintings to try and communicate the presence, the light and the love of God to people. And one of his famous ones is The Starry Night. And when he paints stars, he often paints them with, you know, swirls around them. There's a couple of his paintings of the daytime with the sun. And the swirls are just pouring out of this sun. It's almost like a child's painting. And it was his view, and he talks about this. He talked about this with his brother, who he wrote to. The presence of God just swirling around us. That's how he felt it was in life and in the world. A little bit like the river that we talked about last week, the wind, it follows some of those same kinds of things. You know, there's a rock standing right, you know, in opposition in the middle of the river, and the water comes down. You've seen it, haven't you, where the water, you know, is forced to go around the rock and then it twirls around behind it. Little eddies, they're called. The wind does exactly the same thing. We were always told never to leave the back winder window down of the station wagon because the wind that's coming and swirls around behind sucks in the carbon monoxide from the exhaust pipe and it comes back in. You can't see all of that, but it's this idea of God being all at work, all alive around us, all in ways that, you know, he's working, it may be mysterious for us. You know, Romans 8, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray or how we should pray, but the Spirit himself is at work, making intercession for us. He's praying in us, swirling around, you know, reading those cries from our heart, those sighs from our heart, the question marks from our heart, all of that in us, and there's this flow going, you know, to the equator, back to the pole, to the equator, back to the pole, you know, into God in those kinds of ways. Mysterious. And why not? I mean, he's infinite and we're finite. How do we ever expect to really solve the mysteries that go on in life? It's a childlike quality to just be able to accept a mystery. As adults, we always try to solve everything. But like the wind, with all of this gentle surrounding us, but also like the wind, the Holy Spirit is all-powerful, for God is God. God is all-powerful. You know, when the Spirit came and baptized the people of God on that very first day of Pentecost after Jesus went back to the right hand of God, the Father in heaven, it says that they were all together in one place. Jesus had promised that a helper would come. He was talking about the Spirit. And then it says in the beginning of that chapter, a sound came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The wind's power is all-powerful. And with all-powerful, we can think of it in a cyclonic kind of a way, where nothing can stand in the wind's way. But we can also see it in an all-powerful way in a, I don't know what other word to use, but botanic sort of a way, carrying the pollen from the flower through and seeding that, and you know, the little gossamer web of the spider, when the spider drops down a little leaf connected to his web, her web, and she drops it down and the wind catches the gossamer web, or catches the leaf, and just blows it all out, and she just lets it all run out. And that then attaches itself to some other branch on the other side, usually of the driveway. And then the golden orb starts to then weave. Drops another one, it drops a few basic, you know, sort of anchor points, and then starts to move within it all. You know, that's amazing power of the wind to do that. You know, they reckon the elephant's trunk is on the one hand the strongest, and also the end of it, the little digit thing on the end of it, is the gentlest, in a amazing kind of a way like that. Tremendous power and strength. You know, you watch a jeweler working. I always think there's a lot of strength involved in a jeweler who's making this tiny, tiny little clasp or whatever for a diamond, you know. And all of that strength, if you like, of the big muscly arms or whatever, is just all focused down into this minute little movement. And there's a tension, must be an incredible strain in all of that to keep everything else at bay. Just that tiny little touch. It's God's power that doesn't destroy us, even though we often think of it the other way around. It's this immense power that he is able, in his infiniteness, to be able to, you know, come around us, come to us, and in the gentlest of ways, just touch us in some way that won't destroy us, you know? You know, he's not like, Brute Bernard. You know, used to be a wrestler back in the old days, you know. He'd come out, you know, and if you're in your way, boom, 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 you know. Even people, as he walked down the aisle, would be knocked unconscious and all of this sort of stuff. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful in all of those ways. A million different ways. Breaking down our barriers that we set up against him. Breaking open our hard-heartedness, penetrating deep in behind all the masks and the walls that we might put up. You know, in Acts, just after the Holy Spirit came, remember, as Peter was talking about Jesus, suddenly all these people felt in their hearts something was happening. They described it as that their hearts were cut to the quick. You know, oh, and that was God. It wasn't Peter's words. They were just words. They were talking about Jesus, yes, but Peter's words were not that powerful to penetrate right inside someone's heart. But the Holy Spirit took those words and that truth and did that and cut to the heart, just so that those gates of their heart could be opened, so that God could come in and and set them free and lead them to life. Carrying the receptive seed, like the wind, taking those little seeds out of the flowers and just drifting them over and then planting them in the grass somewhere or in the soil, and they start to grow. And so the flower bed, you know, the country garden sort of just spreads over that's there. And that's how God works in our lives, you know. Sometimes it might be violent, like that, boom, cutting to the heart, and oh yes, that's true. Sometimes it's just very gentle. Lydia, you know, she was down at the river and sharing and talking, and God just opened up her heart just gradually, and she saw, and her heart became receptive and soft, and the little seeds just planted in there and went on their way. The refreshment of just resting at peace in God's presence, and the driving back of the obstacles that man may put in God's way. All the all-powerfulness of the Holy Spirit. And then, as we touched on before with John, that passage of helping us in our praying, very gently leading us to be thinking about the people he wants us to be thinking about, or thinking about something that you know, and he helps us with that. If you just turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, which is right up the back, nearly right up the back, just talks there about how, you know, the Bible. In John 14, Jesus promised the disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into all truth, and he's going to help you remember the things that I've said to you. And that's exactly what Peter acknowledges in his last letter, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 says, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word picture there is borne along by the Spirit. It's the picture of a yacht that is borne along through its sails by the wind. And that's the way it's describing the people that wrote the Scriptures. The Spirit lifted them, filled their sails, as it were, and bore them along as a sailing ship. Moved by the Holy Spirit, they spoke from God. The wind, like the wind. Last week we saw that the Spirit was revealed to us as a river. And Jesus said, they who believe in me, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. And he was talking about the Spirit. Today, we've seen that the Spirit is revealed to us as a wind, invisible, deliberate, mysterious, and all-powerful. In South Australia, the hot wind blows down from the north, doesn't it? From the deserts. If there's a hot, strong, northerly wind, we know that's not a good day. It's going to be hot, it's going to be dusty, and it's not good for bushfires. In West Australia, it's the east wind that comes off the desert. And usually in the mornings, during summer, it's hot, it's dry. But the other wind system in the west is a westerly. And that always comes in summer anyway, in the afternoon. And it's like there's this battle. I guess it doesn't happen so visibly with us here, with the southwest then coming in, bringing the rain. But in WA, it's quite a definite battle, if you like, just after lunch. The easterly wind and the westerly wind starts to come in off the sea, and they meet, and then slowly, the westerly wind drives the eastern hot, dry wind out. And I guess that's our prayer, isn't it, for each other, for ourselves, that the wind of the world that blows on us every day, all of us, but that the refreshing sea breeze of the Holy Spirit will have his way and overcome and bring the refreshment and bring the cooling of the presence of God into our life. May we all have God's help to set those sails of our yacht in harmony so that the Spirit can fill us afresh and refresh us and carry us along on the journey that he has for us. Let's stand and sing our last song together today, which is Refresh My Heart, Lord.